Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. The world of commerce is changing. There is so much going on. The world of technology is changing. So much going on. There was a recent report from MasterCard that focused on three emerging tech trends that are expected to reshape, change, alter, transform a whole bunch of different sectors. So we thought, hey, that's an interesting thing for us to think about from a personal finance perspective. To talk about this, we're joined by Daryl McMullen, SVP Product and Solutions at MasterCard Canada. He's in Toronto today. Hello there.
Great to chat with you, sir. How you been?
I am well. I'm sure we could talk about this for hours. Three trends outlined in your report: AI, that we talk about a lot these days, computational power. I kind of think that's the difference between my Commodore 64 and my, you know, laptop today, and data technologies, which is a very ambiguous term. I want to start with number two, because that's the one that I think we know the least about. What do you mean when you use the phrase computational power?
Yeah. So it's, it covers a number. You're right. That is a broad-based term as well. And you might even think off the top, what is a company like MasterCard thinking about stuff like that, being a typically known as a credit card company? And yes, payments perhaps are at our core, but if you think of us as a network, our real focus of excellence are on kind of three key areas, one being data analytics, one on cybersecurity, and real-time secured authentication and connectivity. Our demands in the digital world continue to accelerate. The number of transactions that we do digitally has exponentially grown, every time we do something. And every time we do a transaction, people think, oh, it's just a transaction. Well, every transaction generates, 15 to 30 different data points and the relationships around that. So when you go back to computing power, part of it is gathering all of the data that comes in, what is the experiences that can be augmented and changed as a part of that. So part of that could be related to fraud and security. Part of that could be related to upfront around things like loyalty. One of the big trends that we're seeing when it comes to computational power, and it kind of interrelates with artificial intelligence and data, all three are interrelated. When you think about ads today, people don't run like one ad campaign, or they run A, B, and see which one is best. Ads now are hyper-personalized. Mm-hmm. When a company does a campaign, they'll do thousands of versions of that ad. And that goes through a whole bunch of computational understanding on how they augment an experience. How they talk to you might be very different than how they talk to me versus how they very differently talk to your sister. And then when we think of interfaces, they're changing as well, right? And we're starting to see a little bit more, obviously things like Apple glasses and the metaverse have been their infancy in terms of experiential type things. And they're still a little bit in the kind of sandbox gadget type vibe. But some of the things that we're seeing even in our own alpha labs around how do you merge the in-store experience with the digital experience, that's going to be here before we know it in a lot of different, right?
I'm sure. I throw on my kids' Oculus and I'm just blown away by how that technology can make such a big difference. And I can see it making a big difference in people's experiences in so many ways, consuming, commerce, shopping included. Data technologies sounds like a very, very broad theme. What do you mean specifically about data technologies, and how could that manifest for consumers?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple different things there. So one is, I would say, the tokenization of everything. Most people are even as general consumers, may understand the concept of a token, where you take your physical credit card and you create a digital version of it on your phone. Right. So that way you can just walk around and tap your phone. What you've essentially done is created a secured, encrypted digital token on your phone, and you're using your own biometric to authenticate yourself, without sounding super geeky, but that's essentially what that is. If you take that same concept and start tokenizing everything else that's out there in a number of different ways for people's value and benefit, I would say kind of early days, if you think of things that are still in the kind of prehistoric era, identity, right? And I would say that's the one layer that's broken when in the internet and commerce is identity. We have government issued identity, but it's still in the kind of physical card form. Whenever you're having to authenticate yourself, it's very difficult, and you have to go through a number of different passwords and knowledge based questions and answers. Well, what if you could actually have all of your identity tokenized and secured, encrypted for you as well? So your driver's license can verify your address, you can verify your birthday, all of that information very securely, and a more seamless experience.
I was the victim of identity theft about 18 months ago, and the fraudster, all they had to do to set me up for a massive hit to my credit score and almost 9 months of grief was my name and address. They got a credit card shipped to a branch. They never picked it up, but because it had an annual fee, which I did not pay because I didn't order the card and didn't know about it, I took a massive hit to my score. Why are we seeing a lag in those kinds of identity verification measures that seem so simple?
Yeah, well, I think it's two pieces there. There's one, just tokenizations. We are seeing that start to proliferate a little bit more, whether it be identity, whether that be loyalty. And you'll see a lot of changes in the modernization of loyalty in that way. Part of it is related to authentication layers up front and standards that everyone can agree on. Even when it comes to identity, you know, there's, you know, different provincial standards on driver's licenses and health cards and state licenses. There are new tokenized standards that are coming. So it doesn't matter if you have a Georgia state driver's license or an Ontario driver's license, you should be able to use that at the same place and within the same structure and format, so you don't have to validate yourself in different ways.
I bring two perspectives to all the conversations we have about personal finance on this show and in other places too. And that is, we want commerce to be productive and efficient and at the lowest cost possible, like so many virtuous things that are helpful when we innovate on that front. But the second perspective is, we know that the use of credit cards has anesthetized the pain of spending and have reduced so much of the friction with spending, because you can just tap or swipe and they already know your credit card, versus, oh my God, I got to trek to the store with cash in hand in order to transact. Where is the innovation out there that will help Canadians, help save Canadians from themselves when it comes to overspending? I want to slow this train down in many regards. And I'll say that the catalyst to this particular question is 35% of credit cards in use are not paid off in full. And a part of that, maybe it's a small part, but a part of that is it's so easy to spend.
Yeah. So I think it's a great question. I think some of the ways to look at that, and it talks about, or similar to what I was talking about earlier, where there is so much data that surrounds every transaction that you do. And going back to, how do we now start taking a lot of that data to provide meaningful insights back to a user in real time, right? So it could be, here's your spending patterns. Oh, here, you're over budget if you've set budgets for yourself, or identifying transactions in real time that are a little odd or weird. And this is where it kind of dovetails in the conversation around, what's the role that artificial intelligence perhaps playing in having intelligent agents, if you will, that are able to identify, hey, Bruce, you're spending a little too much this month, or if you're trying to set limits for yourself, what role they can play on financial management in some way that's a lot more intelligent than, you know, historically looking at just investment quarterly statements.
The technology and the innovation is going to be there. We can't stop it. AI in particular feels like both magic and also this horrendous curse that we're inflicting on ourselves in some ways. How do we ensure that the consumer's interests are served? Because listen, I have a background as a packaged goods marketer. I was all about selling the stuff, whether you needed it or not. I was about selling the stuff. And I would love an AI application that would shake me awake and say, dude, you cannot afford that because of X, Y, and Z. But I don't know why a for-profit enterprise would ever institute a prompt like that, because by the very nature of their business, they're about making more money, which, by the way, I have no problem with, but it doesn't serve the consumer sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I think if we kind of take an elevation step back and think of, you know, the last 20 years has been the massive scale of information at our fingertips. And with information and opportunity comes temptation to spend and buy, right? And we're still we're consumed with all of this information all the time. And if you think of like traditional even search engines, right? They're just indexing all of that information for you. When you go to a commerce website, there's still like electronic catalogs of information that you can browse through. Generative AI, you know, what traditional search engines are to information, AI is to answers, right? So being able to wade through those search results, search engines put pages in front of you and commerce sites put, you know, content and products in front of you and gives you all the justifications and reasons on why to buy them. But generative AI can act more as like a study partner or a financial partner in many ways. These digital agents can help people both on a personal level and a professional level as well. We're starting to see some people use generative AI almost as chief marketing officers or chief financial officers. Not that you would wholly own the entire responsibility onto them, but as a sanity check, how does this look? How does that look? How can we make this better and have an ongoing conversation to be able to evaluate and provide the context and intention to everything that you're doing?
One last question before we go, Daryl. If you were to think about one particular technology application that you believe we will see in the next 5 years that will make the biggest difference for individuals when it comes to their personal finances, when it comes to their money, what would that be?
Well, I think it's the combination of a couple of things, right? So I do think AI, the thing is, I don't think AI is a product, first of all, right? I think AI is a bloodline and a connective point to a lot of other elements that are around them. Our financial lives are more complex than they've ever been. People have multiple credit cards. They have multiple banking relationships, multiple investment relationships. It's tough to make sense of it all. And trying to put it all into spreadsheets doesn't make sense. That's almost a full-time job. Yeah. So the idea of having intelligent agents, whether that be on managing your personal finances, personal financial management has been a long promise forever, right? Early days of things like, personal financial software or people managing things on spreadsheets, but that's just tracking stuff. Yeah. Having an actual financial management and a financial agent can definitely help optimize things. I think there are other categories. You think of travel, right? And going back to what I was saying earlier, we went from, 20 years ago dealing with travel agents to then the internet comes along, everything became self-service and you're inundated with so many options for booking flights, for booking resorts, all that sort of stuff. It's almost overwhelming at some point. I actually think we're going to see a renaissance of a travel agent, but virtual. Right. Yeah. So when I'm going to book a trip to Scotland this summer, it's done very efficiently. And you use generative AI to actually book a trip and say that you want to, say a 3-day trip through Scotland and I want to stop at these three places. Oh, and my partner's vegan. Give me two options for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And what are their best dishes to have?
Yeah.
That can be done in seconds, right? So there's a lot of that sort of the role of how AI actually optimizes the content around us.
Interesting. Daryl, thanks for your insight on this. We could talk about it for hours. I appreciate you carving off a few minutes to be with us today.
Pleasure to.
Daryl McMullen, Senior Vice President, Product and Solutions at MasterCard Canada.